morning and welcome everyone. Live Dharma Sunday. This is Reverend Koyo Kobosi here. I'm glad you joined us in cyberspace. Hope that all is well with you. I know this is a season when it's still very cold, and here in Central California we had cold wave come in for us, so everybody's talking about it, and especially in an area where there's a lot of farming is the main industry. Everybody pays attention to the weather. Well, today we're very happy to have as our guest to give a Dharma glimpse, Patty Milligan of Camarillo, California, and she's part of the LM4 group, the lay minister fourth group to go through. And she's part of a group of 7 students, a large class for us, that will be finishing up, and they're all planning to come here to Brighton Institute in Corsico this coming May. It's right around the corner for their induction ceremony as lay ministers. And this group has been a fantastic group. They do a lot of mutual polishing for each other, and it's been a great pleasure to work with them. Well, for today's Dharma Glimpse, Patty's on.
Thank you. Good morning. Speaking of cold, I have had a cold for the past week. Not a bad one, but one that's making it a little harder to think clearly. I'm always pleased to write about a Dharma glimpse, but this time, being a little fuzzy-headed and to make it easier for myself, I started thinking about what was right in front of me, the Dharma glimpses this cold has given me. For one thing, I noticed that in my weakened condition, I wanted someone to say to me, "I'm sorry that you have a cold," just an acknowledgement of being temporarily sidelined. Yet I feel a little ashamed for wanting attention for something so trivial. After all, this cold will come and go like countless others, another reminder of the constant changes in life. Everyone can see I have a cold. Why do I need to hear words of empathy or sympathy? Illness can make us feel separate from the rest of the healthy world, feeling somewhat abandoned and like we've lost our place. Thinking more about this, it seemed to me we all want to hear this when we're down. Acknowledgement of our suffering and reassurance of our connectedness. Don't worry, we're still here. We've got your back. I used to think sayings such as "we're here for you" were trite and empty, but sometimes it's enough. This isn't big news. Everybody knows you bring a box of tissues and a cup of tea to a sick person. But this time I learned that just the simple act of acknowledgement can also be important. Acknowledgement connects the giver and the recipient. It's a communication that opens the door to compassion. Acknowledgement says, "I honor you." When our lives are humming along nicely, we don't often express our connectedness with one another, except for those times punctuated by events such as birth and sickness and weddings and death. We could practically chart these big-ticket moments on a graph with dots. The dots are the times when we feel most alive and life is more meaningful. And life may seem to be in sort of a holding pattern the rest of the time. The fact is, though, that most of life is lived in the seemingly uneventful time in between these dots. Rather than wait for a crisis or major event to shock me into awareness, I need to connect the dots with awareness and mindfulness so that I acknowledge the suchness of each moment and every person every day. I'm reminded of Reverend Koyo once giving us the image of a tombstone with the year of the birth, a hyphen or a dash, and the year of death engraved upon it. We think the dates are noteworthy, but as Reverend Koyo pointed out, the dash which connects them is the meaningful part. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a wonderful Dharma Glimpse. And, you know, we have the students in the group for each small group teleconference that they do. We have a rotating Toban schedule or taking turn schedule of a student giving a Dharma Glimpse to lead off the session. And this is a nice example of it. And, you know, when we give a Dharma Glimpse, we call it a glimpse. Adrian Sensei coined that term some years ago, and we originally used it for short little glimpses for articles in the newsletter and so forth. And I think it's a nice term, a glimpse. But at the same time, it's something that doesn't intimidate someone that's just starting out. Instead of saying give a Dharma talk, usually we don't say sermon in Buddhism, even though sermon may be a generic term without any further, it's a reference term. But sermon sometimes can carry some baggage, like, sermonizing, or someone, the minister, talking down to the congregation, not just physically, but from a higher position of authority, of maybe in the Judeo-Christian context, when the minister was seen as the intermediary, the necessary intermediary between the people and God. And so he was necessary, or they had the necessary knowledge or whatever, and then they impart it to those that don't. But in Buddhism, we don't have that kind of a sermonizing, or sometimes sermonizing may have some kind of a moralistic connotation where, well, you better shape up, and that kind of talking down to, And there's not that kind of thing in Buddhism. Buddhism is always not about the other. It's about oneself. That's a key thing. You see, in Buddhism, the key thing is looking within. Self-awareness. Instead of looking outward, whether that outward look is towards someone higher than you, some kind of supernatural deity, or someone outside of you that you're telling them what you know or what they should do and so forth. And there are no shoulds in Buddhism, really, too. My father always used to say, no shoulds in Buddhism. Or if there is, it should be for ourselves, especially not for others. So that's sort of a unique perspective, I think. The Buddha was a fantastic, revolutionary person in his approach. So looking within, looking at oneself, that's what Dharma Glimpse is about. A Dharma Glimpse is not about Buddhism, about some lofty teachings separated from oneself. That's what I mean by the word about. It's not about knowledge, really. Knowledge usually is just knowledge about something, some subject matter. And many students of Buddhism feel, well, I want to learn about Buddhism, then learn about Buddhism. And they don't realize that those teachings are just a tool to help us to look within. And looking within one's own mind and heart is not just, you know, some people might think, oh, that's sort of the realm of psychology. Maybe so in some sense, but it's not. Buddhism's different from, it has a lot of psychology in it, or psychology could be a tremendous gate to the Dharma teachings. But it's not identical or the same type of inquiry. You know, a lot of times, psychology is to help one feel better, focus on one's concerns, or to build up one's sense of confidence, whereas, in a sense, Buddhism looks within so that one can see the truth of things and go beyond one's thoughts about oneself. And this is where practice comes in. That word is a kind of an interesting word. Usually in the West, we think of practice. We think, oh, you got to practice basketball. You got to practice the piano. You know, that kind of practice. But Buddhism practice does mean with structured activities to try to acquire a skill. But when you look at the origin of that word, of the different words for practice, there are some scholars that translate it as living. To live is practice. And one of my teachers always used to say, the teachings have to be backed by practice. He would always say it sort of like that. And I was reminded of that when I was listening to Patty Sun give a Dharma glimpse. Well, first of all, we always tell our students about what Dharma glimpses are about. And we don't want to hear about some exposition about a Buddhist teachings, you know, in the abstract sense. The Dharma glimpse, it always comes from personal experience. It's based in there if it's going to be a real Dharma talk. That's the definition of it. And so in part of our lay program, we teach that, and it's taken for granted. And so you talk about what you know in the sense of, you know, what you experienced. Okay? And another aspect is, in our program, I started something called capping phrases and code phrases, something to sort of summarize, perhaps in a catchy way, one's studying, one's experience, one's insights. Put a label on it, a title on it, you know, cap it off. And by a code phrase, meaning it doesn't have to be something that's literary in the sense of communicating everything to someone else. A code phrase is something that it could be kind of coded, you know. Only if you know what's behind it, you know the meaning. And it's just an abbreviation for an experience. And the value of such a shorthand phrase is that it, you know, when you think of it's a handle. I always call it a handle. Like, you know, you got a big luggage full of heavy weights that are very, you know, good stuff. And it's hard to lug it around unless you have a handle. So this way you can grab it and then you say, oh yeah, That's when I'm talking about this. So if we said something, although Patterson didn't put it this way, you know, dots and dashes, kind of a Dharma glimpse, that's a nice summarizing cold phrase, sort of. An ordinary person would say, well, dots and dashes, it's talking about Morse code or what, you know? But for her, and for those who heard her Dharma talk, you know what she's talking about, just by saying dots and dashes. Or you could, you know, just say hyphen, or live in the dash. And it has a lot of meaning, because it's based upon life. I think it's a tremendous kind of practice. And it's the kind of practice that's grounded in everyday life. Not something that's, in a sense, artificial, structured ritual that's imposed upon our usual everyday life, although that kind of thing is often necessary in the beginning to move us along toward establishing kind of a background or kind of cultivating the field of awareness in which the seeds can easily grow for natural, spontaneous kinds of teachings that, you know, that are presented to us by life. We don't have to go looking for it. Life will give it to us. It's always around us. To realize all these kind of things is the goal or purpose of our lay program, and the quality of our students that come out, you know, we're very gratified. Those that stick with the program, and they come out knowing that they perfect their studentship. It's a process. And as I tell them, they always have to keep going. You know. And that's one of my personal code phrases, keep going. It has a sort of a surface meaning, but it's backed by a lot of different examples of instances of living that give it a lot of weight to me. And I try to pass that on. I also want to acknowledge, since Patty Sun mentioned the tombstone dash between date of birth and date of death, I mentioned that, I guess, to the class once, and but it's not mine. That came from a lay minister from one of the prior classes. And in that vein, I'm always inspired and renewing my excitement and appreciation of Dharma to the students. I mean, who's the student? Who's the teacher? You know, there's such mutual polishing going on. And each person should, even the teachers or anybody, should feel they're the one that's getting the most out of what's being said. Great teaching always requires great listening. I do remember coining the phrase live in the hyphen. You know, hyphen is between our approach, you know, way of oneness is, you know, between the opposites, between the extremes. Between the noteworthy events, between, you know, this is good or this is bad. Oh, I love this or I hate this. See? Now, sometimes a label, you know, has power, is very powerful, but we call a double-edged sword, you know, very sharp tool, but there's a sharp blade, side of the blade facing you, it could cut you too. A lot of things are like this. A tool sometimes is so valuable, and it starts to dominate you, and you use it when it's not appropriate to use it. So sometimes we get dominated by the power of a label, and we say, oh, I want to label things as good or bad, right or wrong, fair or unfair. And that's all right, because as I noted, language and phrases has a lot of power. Okay. But if that tool becomes our master and we don't know it, we're not aware, or we have to beware, get it? Because then the danger is we might mistake this for reality, these labels for reality itself. They're labels that we impose on reality to help us make a little order out of it. But the reality itself is something dynamic, moving. And if we get attached, captured, victimized by one particular label, then the teacher or the teachings has to remind us and pull us in the other direction. And sometimes we make the mistake, oh, I should go to the other aspect. We go all the way to the other opposite extreme of the dichotomy or the dualism, and we get trapped there. Sometimes we feel that living in the hyphen is an unsteady place, not a definite place. And to a certain extent, that's true. How to live when there's no firm ground under you, when you're falling. How to master that. Maybe that, you know, you don't want to push metaphors or analogies too far, and you can always make them do what you want them to do, but you have to be able to use them too in the best way. So what does it mean, live in the hyphen? Not get captured by, oh, things are, this is unfair, or that's fair, or I'm right, they're wrong. Not realizing that so many of these things that have to do with value judgment, with feelings, with attitudes and so forth, it's like life is dynamic and changing, depending upon, and sort of here's a formula that I learned from a Dharma colleague, person, place, and time. I found that helpful. Person, place, and time. It's dependent upon that. And if you want to think, oh, well, this is right. Oh, it's right for this particular person at this particular time in this particular place. And it's fine. But for someone else, or even the same person at a different time, or, you know, different context, hey, this is something fresh and new in this present moment, this reality, this suchness of this, what's going on. And you cannot use some set, rigid formula or rule all the time for all the people and all the situations. This is part of what we should learn from living. Living the hyphen. Between the extremes, between the big events, the definitive things. This middle way is not a kind of a watered-down compromise in-between land either. It's something very dynamic. that's not on the same dimension of whatever dimension you're talking about between those two extremes. And when it comes down to it, it's the present moment, not our thoughts about how things should be. Well, I rambled on good about dashes and hyphens and code phrases. I love the Dharma. And I thank Patty Sound for her nice Dharma glimpse. I thank everyone for joining us this morning. We had a freezing weather, Central California. I was at a gathering yesterday, and a social gathering, and they were all talking about it and how to protect the fruit trees and stuff. And it was very interesting to learn, you know, all the ways you could run some irrigation water in there. You could, you know, they got new products where you could sort of spray something, okay, substances over things so that the blossoms won't get frozen. And of course, you could always throw some frost blankets over it if it's different things. But still, you never know. Some are going to make it, some aren't. No 1 degree could make a big difference. Farmers can do a lot, but nature does a lot too. And it's a very dynamic relationship between the person and, you know, working hard, doing a lot of things. And it's not trying to conquer or, you know, nature. You have to work with it. You have to work with nature. Huh? If you have the attitude of conquering, you know, conqueror and the conquered, that's another dichotomy or dualism. And the real hyphen there is, you know, hey, you just got to keep going. Keep going. So, to conclude, well, you have a beautiful keep going. Thank you.